Welcome back to Elevate. We are so excited tonight. We have Grace Rainey with us. This is the holidays, and we know that during holiday season, people tend to deal with a lot of depression, a lot of issues. People are grieving. A lot of people have dealt with losing a loved one and don't have the proper tools to grieve. And so tonight we have an expert with us who is not just an expert by education, but by lived experience. And Grace Rainey is going to talk to us about her story, and she's going to encourage us. So I want you to do us a favor and elevate and lift this message up by sharing it out to your networks, to your family members, to as many people as possible, because this is truly a message of inspiration and a message of hope. Grace Rainey, thank you so much for being with me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So I want to read your incredible bio first, and then we're going to jump into some really, really heavy questions tonight. And I truly believe with all my heart that this is very purposeful. And I think that your story, which people will get to hear, is one that's going to uplift so many people this holiday season. Grace Rainey is a strong and passionate woman dedicated to uplifting those who are dealing with grief, loss, pain, and disappointment. As an inspirational blogger and author, she uses her platform to bring hope and encouragement to those who feel hopeless and helpless to change their circumstances by sharing with all who will hear the power that is in the Word of God. Grace actively serves in ministry at Embassy City Church in Atlanta, Georgia, under the leadership of Apostle Brian and Pastor Patrice Meadows. She is deeply committed to her faith and finds fulfillment in sharing God's Word with others. In her personal life, Grace enjoys reading, writing, shopping, traveling, and spending time with her family. She is a proud wife of 22 years, incredible, to her husband, Melvin Rainey, a mother to three children. Please forgive me if I mispronounce Jarrell and Sade. Did I say that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. As well as their beloved Taj, who sadly passed away. A proud auntie to meet Denise Halo, yes, I know Halo Kelly, sister to Jerome Kelly Jr., and daughter to Jerome Kelly Sr., who also passed away, and loving parent Adolph and Catherine Robinson. One of Grace's proudest accomplishments is writing and self-publishing her first book, which allowed her to share her journey and provide solace to those facing similar challenges. She is known for her strong convictions, unwavering faith, and apostolic grace. Grace has one goal in life, that from which everything in her life proceeds, and that is to become more and more like a daughter of God each day. I love that. Grace, your bio is incredible. For those that don't know, your story is also incredible. I'd love to learn more about you, like the grace behind the grace. Like, who are you and what made you be who you are today?
Wow. So I'm like third generation Pentecostal holiness.
Yeah.
My great grandfather was a preacher. My grandfather was a preacher. My father was a minister.
Wow.
And so it just was in my, DNA
yeah.
to be in ministry.
Right.
But just like everybody else, I rebelled and did my own thing. But the Bible does say that, train up a child in the way that she should go, he should go. Mm-hmm. And when they're old, they will not, depart from it.
Yeah.
So no matter how far I went, I never could truly depart completely. So
yeah.
It's just always been in me to do ministry, but just dealing with things in life early. Like, I lost my father when I was 11.
Wow.
I lost my grandfather. Like, I never knew my grandfather because he passed away the same year that I was born.
Wow.
So just dealing with loss and things of that nature at an early age.
Sure.
It's kind of shaped my idea of the world. I never run away from pain. I know that that's a part of life.
Yeah.
But the Bible says that man born of a woman, is their numbers are short, the days are short, but it's full of trouble. So right. I just always have that in my mind. So I try to enjoy the happy days. I try to enjoy the days when it's sunny. I don't schedule or put off my joy. I try to live in the moment. I try to be present and just share myself with those that are near to me.
No, that's so beautiful. And it's so interesting the way that you talked about seeing the world from a very young age at 11, how you lost your own father, and that being a lot of what shaped your worldview.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of kids are dealing with that even today and may not necessarily know, you know how to deal with that grief. And I think there's a lot of misplaced grief happening today.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So I would love to hear more about your story. You're an author. Mm-hmm. You published your first book.
I did.
Yourself. Congratulations. I did.
Thank you.
Tell us more about that. What inspired you? What's the story behind that book?
Well, I knew from an early age that I was a writer. When I was in sixth grade, I began to get, like, perfect writing scores on tests. And, I mean, perfect.
That's incredible.
And, but I wasn't encouraged in it. Like, my teacher would actually be like, how did you do that? Like, I wasn't capable of doing that.
Yeah.
But I was always expressive, could express myself through writing. I wasn't a very vocal person because when I was young, I was very outspoken.
Right.
And my father kind of fostered that. But, like, when he passed away, it was kind of looked down upon as being too forward or being you know, too opinionated. So I kind of went into a shell, but I always would write. I always would journal.
Wow.
And so I knew, you know, from a young age that I was a writer, but I just procrastinated, put it off, and just having this dramatic situation with my daughter passing away. She passed away on May 30th, which was Memorial Day 2022, by a motor vehicle accident. And I just didn't know what to do with it. Like, I just was writing. It was just so heavy that I just had to write, and I would just pray, and I would just cry, and I would just write. And so I felt like I had to write because it had to mean something.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't go through this thing by myself, and it didn't help somebody. Like, I was like, I just can't imagine people going through this kind of grief without knowing Jesus.
Yeah.
And so that was my whole premise for writing the book.
Wow.
I started off with just, like, writing a couple of things, like Proverbs and Psalms and different things that encouraged me.
Yeah.
But there were so many scriptures. So I was like, well, I'm just going to do my favorite or my most influential scripture from every book of the Bible. So that's how it got to be so long.
Wow.
And it just turned into a devotional of every book of the Bible because I had to put two things that I loved to help me get through it. And so I love to write. And I love the word of God. So I just put that together, and that's how I got the book.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Incredible. And I didn't know it was so recent with your daughter passing last year.
Yeah.
And can imagine the journey that it's been up until today.
Right, for sure.
Year and a half. What, you know, a lot of parents, I think, are facing that. I told my story of some of the very close people in my family that have experienced a very similar tragedy as yours. What is that like for those that are dealing with that, for those that may not know? Mm-hmm. And what type of support do you believe that would be best for those that are dealing with loss?
Well, I know for me, it was very important for me not to isolate myself.
Yeah.
Because when you are going through a deep grief, and I'm kind of independent, a strong person, I don't really like to worry people with what I have going on because I realize that everybody has something going on.
Right.
And so I knew for a fact that I could not isolate myself. So I surrounded myself with family. Like, my church family was very integral. I came back to church literally the next Sunday after we buried her.
Wow.
Buried her on Pentecostal Sunday. It was it was so surreal, but we buried her on Pentecostal Sunday.
Jesus.
And I was able to minister to all of her friends and our family.
Oh, my goodness.
And the Lord, like, he would not allow me to sit in the grief of it. Because he was like, you are called to minister.
Wow.
And this is your assignment. And he woke me up the morning of her funeral and gave me her whole eulogy.
Ooh.
And he said that it's Pentecostal Sunday. He said, I want you to say these words because you'll never get this chance again.
Wow.
He said, all of her friends are in one place. Your family is in one place. Everybody is on one accord because everybody's heart is broken. He's like, I want you to minister this to them. And so many of her friends and so many people that were there received Christ that day. And he just would not allow me, for whatever reason, he would not allow me to sit in the grief and miss the opportunity. And just letting me know that he's sovereign and that everything he does, there's a plan behind it.
Wow.
And actually, somebody that was in that service that gave their life to Christ passed away 4 months later.
Wow.
And so it was just always him just saying, you know, hard things happen.
Yeah.
And he gave me Ezekiel when he told him to bury his wife and do not cry and do not put on sackcloth and ashes.
Wow.
Because he needed his people to be strong. He needed his people to be able to trust him even in hard things.
Wow.
And so that was what he gave me, and it just strength, like I had supernatural strength, and it's all God. And I say, if this is hard for me in this way, I can only imagine people who don't have him.
Yeah.
Or people don't have that relationship, what it must be like. And he allowed me to feel it for a little while. And just that memory of the feeling of somebody grieving. Because the first day that it happened, that next morning, it felt like 1,000 swords were being stuck in my heart.
Jesus.
I could not breathe.
Good Lord.
And I could not sleep. I was up for like that whole day and then the next day. Because they came to my house at midnight, like 12:30-ish midnight. Mm. And so I said, you know, I'm not going to call anybody tonight because tomorrow is going to be a rough day. So I let everybody sleep. And so I began to call that morning because I wanted to catch my mom before she went to work.
Yeah.
But I said, Lord, I can't. If you don't come take this away, I won't be able to make it through this.
Oh, Jesus.
And he literally, you know, you hear that scripture where it says, oh, death, where is your sting?
Yeah.
He literally took the sting of it.
Ooh.
He took the pain, like the way that it made me feel, like my heart was shattered in a million pieces. The way that it made me feel, he literally took that away.
Wow.
He literally took it away, and I was able to, you know, minister to my family and be strong for them because they told me, like, you're so strong. You make us, we can't cry and we can't be upset because I was just, like, the word of God was just flowing out of me.
Wow.
Because that's what I had to hold on to.
Wow.
I had to believe his word that it's a purpose in everything, that he don't make any mistakes, that it's his timing. And so it just helped me with the grieving process. So I tell everybody, grieve with God. That's what the whole book came out of, like, grieve with him. Don't leave him out of it. I made in my mind that I wasn't going to be upset.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the first thing you go through these stages of grief.
Yeah.
Where you're mad, you're bargaining, and you're, like, asking questions, you're asking why.
Sure.
But I was like, I can't. If he's the one that wounded me, he's the one that has to heal me.
Wow.
So I can't be mad at him, you know, because he's the one that's going to help me through this.
Yeah.
And so I'll just tell anybody, like, when you're dealing with grief, do not isolate yourself.
Wow.
Surround yourself with family because they'll be able to encourage you.
That is so, I mean, I'm so blown away by hearing your story, your testimony, your faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, talked about that moment where it felt like 1,000 swords were just, you know, just the memory of that. But how you held on to your faith.
Yeah.
You prayed, and your prayer was answered.
Immediately. I had been asleep for maybe 36 hours. And immediately after I said that, it's like, well, let me just rewind. When I seen the officers come in, my husband told me it was the state troopers. Anytime they come to your house that time of night, you know it's bad.
Sure.
I knew it was either my son or my daughter because either they were the ones that were outside of the house.
Right.
And so when I seen them, it's like I instantly felt like somebody bubble wrapped me in a weighted blanket.
Oh, goodness.
And it's like he would not let me shatter. He would not let me fall apart.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, you know how you see on the movies where people just fall? It's like he wouldn't let me do
your
that.
Your soul will faint.
He would. Oh, my God.
Yes.
But he wouldn't allow that. He wouldn't let me do it. And to the point where the officers was like, they just was blown away by that. Because they was waiting for me just to fall apart. And they was like, there was something going on. It's like you almost expected this to happen. And I was like, it's not that. It's like the Lord just kind of warned me about it some ways. But no, I'm not going to fall apart. And if I was to do that, I wouldn't do it in front of you.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he was just scratching his head. But it's just like he bubble wrapped me. He shielded me. From all of that pain, you know, the pain that makes people bitter.
Yeah.
Like he wouldn't allow me to be bitter because he had a purpose for it.
Mm.
And because of the purpose that he had for it, he wouldn't allow me to be bitter towards him for it happening. And I tell everybody, and I hope this don't sound selfish, but a week prior to her passing away, that's when that shooting happened in Texas with those 12 children.
Oh, Jesus.
And so my heart was already broken because of that.
Yeah.
And it's like the Lord was telling me, like, he was just making me be grateful even in the midst of that because my daughter was 25.
Wow.
But those children were 4 and 5 years old.
Yeah.
So their parents, their grief was much greater than mine. Mm. So he wouldn't even let me think about my own self in that moment.
Wow.
Even though this thing was happening to me, my heart was, like, going out to them because I'm like, those children were innocent. They was babies, you know. And whereas I had my daughter for 25 years, they only had their children for 4, 5, 6 years.
Yeah.
And so just everything was so strategic yeah. that I could not, even when I would try to be sad, gratefulness would just come out of my heart.
Oh, my goodness.
Gratefulness would just come out of my heart. And I know it sounds crazy,
but it's incredible.
It would just come out of my heart. Grateful that, like, my daughter, she was busy. She was always busy. And that weekend, she didn't go anywhere. Mm. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday was Memorial Day. Mm-hmm. She didn't go anywhere for those 4 days. So for those 4 days, we talked for hours.
Wow.
She got to talk to her brothers, her sister, her dad. It's like for that whole weekend, like God wow. gave us the gift of her being home.
Wow.
And I just couldn't be sad. Like, I just could not be completely consumed by sadness mm-hmm. because I didn't have anything unresolved.
Wow.
We didn't have anything that was unsaid. She knew yeah. how much I loved her. I knew how much she loved me. And so it was just like, if you're going to lose a child, that's the way you want to.
Right.
Without any friction, without any issues, without mm-hmm. anything, no regrets. Wasn't no regrets. Like, she was a free spirit.
That's beautiful.
She traveled.
Yeah.
You know, it's like I feel like people that know they're not going to live a long time, mm-hmm. they're like super adventurous. Mm-hmm. And she was just like really adventurous.
Wow.
And so I just couldn't be consumed with grief about it. So.
Wow. And it sounds like you poured into her. You loved it. You loved on her so much. And you guys had this incredible time right before the ending mm-hmm. of her life. Mm-hmm. But to be able to step back and yeah. say gratitude mm-hmm. and gratefulness flowed from your heart, yeah. this is my first time.
I know.
hearing that. And it encourages so me. And also, you talk about the moms that lost their kids during the Texas shooting mm-hmm. that are actively grieving yes, probably right sure. in this moment.
Sure.
Holidays are coming up. Absolutely. Christmas is right around the corner. Absolutely. And to have to grieve all over again, that process. Mm-hmm. And you started talking about it a little bit, the stages of grief. Mm-hmm. If you can talk a little more about those stages, it seems like you skipped through the stages
yeah.
because of what the miracle that you received. Absolutely. But for those that are in those stages, what do those stages look like?
Well, and just in the beginning, it's shock.
Yeah.
It's just shock, and you can't believe it. And I find myself even today saying, I can't believe that it happened. I can't yeah. believe that she's not here. I can't believe that I've had to bury my child. So you're just, you know, mm-hmm. shocked, and then you go through just, you know, angry a little bit. But mine wasn't too much anger, but it was disappointed. Like, yeah. I was very disappointed, and I had to deal with the weight of being disappointed, of not being able to have to see her get married
yeah.
or to have grandchildren or just grow old with her or, you know, all of those things that I envisioned we would do. Like, we had plans to go on cruises that year and
wow.
just things we didn't get a chance to do.
Yeah.
So I just had a lot of grief about that. And then I had, you know, just her always worrying about her friends
mm-hmm.
because she had a lot of friends and she was a social butterfly and everybody knew her.
Mm-hmm.
So just the constant everyday worrying about how they're doing and praying right. for them. And just every day that you making new memories, like my brother had a son, and she was real hands-on with her cousins, and because she didn't have children, so she was real hands-on with them.
Mm-hmm.
And just knowing that, you know, she never get a chance to meet him on this side. So just all the things you go through whenever you having happy moments,
yeah. you're
thinking like, man, I wish this person was here.
Right.
And or you go somewhere that you know they would enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they was here. So you just go through those stages, and then some days you have days when you just sad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And on those days, I try to, you know, get around my family and get around my friends, do something fun. A lot of the reason why I wrote the book, too, I wanted to release it. I wrote it so fast because I wanted to release it on her birthday.
Wow.
And I find myself making goals so that when those anniversary dates come up, mm-hmm. I have something to look forward to.
That's incredible.
Other than the grief of that.
Wow.
And so that, like I have my next book coming out, and I want it to come out again during that time,
yeah.
just so I won't have the anniversary issues, you know.
Yeah.
And I, grief is a decision. Like, you can decide
wow.
how you're going to handle your grief.
Mm.
You can decide to be sad. You can decide to, I'm just going to, you know, put my pajamas on and stay in the house. Or you can have a party. You can have a party to celebrate her life, and you can invite all her friends over. It's just, beautiful. It's a decision, you know, it's a decision. So a lot of times the enemy will try to, because he don't care, you know, he'll try to kick you and make you, I felt a lot of, you know, I'm an intercessor. Like, how does this happen to my child? And I had a stage of feeling embarrassed. Like, I'm talking about you all the time, God. How could you take my child and I have to go through this in front of everybody? And I saw pride because everybody goes through things. Like, you're not exempt from going through hardship. It's just that now you have God to go through it with you. Yeah. You don't have to go through it alone. You know what I'm saying? So he never said that we wouldn't have issues and that every day would be sunny. Mm-hmm. And so you just have those days where you just feel like, I birthed a child into the world only for her to pass away at 25. And it's just how your perspective is. Like, you'll go through those things. And you have to cast down those evil imaginations. Yeah. You have to cast down those thoughts that are not true. Mm-hmm. And you do that all day long. You do it all day long until that truth replaces all of those negative thoughts. Because they will come in and you would just think, if I would have did this, or I often think of, like, if I wouldn't have moved here, what that would have happened, you know, what that would have happened. Just all these things that don't have anything to do with anything, because the Bible tells us our times are in his hand. Mm-hmm. So he knows the number of our days.
Yeah.
And so I just have to just say, you know, God, you're sovereign, and I trust your sovereignty. When I asked him why, he said grace and mercy.
Wow.
He said grace and mercy. So I had to take it as, this is what he felt was the best time to take her, and I had to be okay with it.
Wow. You said so much that, just power-filled nuggets. And one of the things that stand out to me is the fact that you talked about grief being a decision. You can choose how you decide to grieve. And I think that takes out the powerlessness aspect or feeling that most people feel when they're grieving, that they don't have a choice, that this happened to me. I don't have the power to. I feel helpless. I feel hopeless. I feel powerless. But you give people a sense of empowerment when you tell them you have a choice in how you can choose to grieve. You can you can remember this person in their life, and you can carry on their legacy, and you can be strategic about your grieving so that you're even creating goals around certain times when you know the grief will try to swallow you up. So I think that's incredible. It's so strategic. I've never heard it before. So I'm listening to you and I'm learning, but it's illuminating to know that this is what you've been able to do. So that stands out to me a lot.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, that's one of those moments where it's like, where you kind of like just take a deep breath after all of that. But I love the humanity part where you talked about the spirituality, but there's like this struggle, this fight, where you're like, okay, I know you said this, God, but then I'm feeling this. But then these thoughts come. But then I have to cast them down. So it's that constant struggle. It's a process.
Absolutely.
Right? It doesn't just happen overnight. I think some people do a great job at avoiding and pressing those feelings, you know, to the back because they don't want to deal with it. Sometimes they're too scary. Yeah. Sometimes it hurts too much. Oh, and so what would you advise people that might be avoiding dealing with grief because it feels too painful?
I wouldn't advise anyone to avoid it, because you're going to deal with those feelings. They're going to come out in other places.
Yeah.
You know, the anger, the disappointment, the grief. All of that will come out in other places if you don't deal with it. I had so many prophetic words over my life.
Yeah.
So I knew that I could not stop. Like I said, the enemy would just love for me to just stop and to just let this swallow me up and consume me.
Yeah.
But the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Like, I cannot let this just go unchecked and just let these thoughts flood my mind all day long, because I know that wasn't God.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's not God and it's not faith, then it's the enemy that's trying to kick me while I'm down.
Yeah.
And so I would just advise any person to, you know, talk to somebody.
Yeah.
Don't keep it pent up. And it's okay to cry. It's okay to get mad. Like, God is able to handle all your feelings, all of your emotions, even when you direct them towards him. He still wants to be there. Like, he still wants to be involved in the process of your healing, because you have to heal from it. If you just let it be undone, it doesn't go anywhere. You know, whatever you decide to bury and not deal with and not confront, it's just going to be there, and you're going to be stuck in that area. You're going to... it's the Apostle Brian always says that place of trauma that you don't deal with, you're stuck in that place. And you might grow in other areas, but can't nobody touch that place. And so you don't never want to do that. You always want to deal with everything. God wants to heal us. He's near to the brokenhearted. Whatever we go through, he doesn't want to leave us out of the process.
Yeah.
He wants to be involved. And so I would tell anybody, like, talk to somebody, get a therapist. Mm-hmm. I haven't went to counseling yet, but I have so many people in my life that pray for me and I can talk to.
Yeah.
But I just haven't went to counseling because I'm always talking to the number one counselor, you know.
Mm.
I probably do at some point need to speak to somebody, just somebody that's not biased at all or who doesn't know me.
Sure.
I just haven't done it yet.
No, I love that you said that. And the quoting Apostle Brian Meadows, he's absolutely on point, accurate. Mm-hmm. In the realm of psychology, mm-hmm. it's thinking traps. Mm-hmm. That people get stuck in. And what happens with thinking traps is it sustains the trauma. So a lot of people are walking around with post-traumatic stress disorder, and they haven't been able to move past it. Some people are dealing with complicated trauma, complex sure. trauma, and it's sustained across time. Because when you're not dealing with those emotions, those feelings, like you mentioned, they stay there.
Right.
So wherever they are, in our traumatic memories are stored in our amygdala mm-hmm. part of the brain, mm-hmm. which is where the trauma is lodged. So you get stuck mm-hmm. in that part of your life, and many people are there. They're stuck. Mm-hmm. And they've been stuck for years. Mm-hmm. And every year they're stuck because they haven't dealt with it. So mm-hmm. avoidance is actually one of the mechanisms to sustaining trauma.
Wow.
But when you deal with it, and there's different types of therapy. There is exposure therapy where you can actually find a way to confront this, whatever that trauma is, head on.
Mm-hmm.
And based on a therapist, they'll recommend the right therapy for you.
Yeah.
But there's so many types that are effective
wow.
that have been known to reduce a lot of the pain and the grief
mm-hmm.
and to accelerate the process of healing
mm-hmm.
so that you don't have to live the way you are in that pain.
That's good. I don't know, like, sometimes I don't know where I am in that process. Sometimes it's a lot of evading thoughts.
Yeah.
And I try not to stay there. Like, I'll try to do something and get busy or, you know, deal with it in a healthy manner.
Mm-hmm.
But it's definitely something that stays with you all the time. Because, you know, we have our phones and Facebook memories come up. So I'm always, like, I'll be fine. And then just poof, a memory will come up.
Yeah.
And they'll just take me back. Or I'll be driving and I'll see her favorite place where she liked to eat. Or just little things like that will try to send you in a tailspin, like,
mm-hmm.
and you have to be like, oh, no, I'm not going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to choose to think happy, and I'm going to be happy and remember the good times that we had when we used to go out and do these kind of things.
Yes.
So and just funny because when that happens to me,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about people who don't know how to manage it
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and how are they continuing, and some people don't make it out of it.
Yeah.
I know, like, my grandfather passed away in 1989,
mm-hmm.
and it's like, it just happened.
Wow.
So I'm just like, how do you get so stuck like that?
Mm-hmm.
And so I depend completely on the Father. Like, I'm totally dependent on him.
Yes.
Because I know how the mind can just snap. Like, you mm-hmm. just don't even understand, like, when you're driving
mm-hmm.
home from work every day,
yeah.
you get in that rote routine of doing things.
Mm-hmm.
Your mind have been a million places, and sometimes you end up at home, you don't even know how you got there,
because mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. you was not paying attention.
Oh, yeah.
You was just, and that's literally losing your mind, but God mm-hmm. causes our mind to return to us.
It's incredible.
And so I'm always like, I'm not going to get stuck in these places, because continuing to do that, your mind one day might not return. You can't stay in the past. You know, you have to move forward.
That's right.
And so I'm always thinking about other people that are stuck.
Wow.
And there's so many people
mm-hmm.
that are stuck. If you just ride downtown Atlanta, mm-hmm.
oh yeah,
you'll see them walking the street,
oh, yeah.
talking to themselves, like this mind completely gone.
Yeah.
And so it's just always in the forefront of my mind. I think that's why it's so much bigger part of my ministry.
Yes.
Because it's something that I deal with every day.
Yeah.
So it's going to be fresh. I'm always going to be thinking about people that's going through grief. People that are going through pain, disappointment,
mm-hmm.
people losing jobs, recession. I'm just thinking about that, and that's mm-hmm. constant. And when you're dealing with that kind of trauma and grief constantly, you have to have the Holy Spirit. You have to let him lead you and guide you and show you the purpose in it.
That's incredible. And it sounds like this work that you're speaking of, it is your calling. It's your
Absolutely.
It's your purpose. And you wear grace so gracefully
thank
on
you.
I mean, just... so graceful, the way that you heal gracefully, the way that you you minister gracefully, your name, and your products
here
that I also would love to showcase. So if you don't mind telling us again about this. So there's a journal and then there's a devotional.
Yes.
Is that what these two are?
Yes, ma'am.
And I do have my copy, y'all, as well.
So the journal is, the devotional is some of my go-to scriptures that I read from every book of the Bible.
Wow.
And the main purpose of the book is to get people to get into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
Because that Word is what's going to sustain them.
Wow.
And God is His Word. He's not separate from His Word. So when you're in His Word, you're getting to know His mind. You're getting to know His will, His purpose, His heart, how He feels about certain things, how you're not forgotten. All these stories in the Bible about people that went through trauma and hardship and pain and suffering to let you know that you're not alone. A lot of times there's stories on the other side of it were victorious and triumphant. And that's the same thing for us. Like, we're going to go through things, but it's never not for any reason.
Yes.
Like, whatever you go through, God has a purpose and a plan for it.
Mm.
And so at the end of it, of each devotional, it's like some questions, some soul work, just some questions about healing, about forgiveness, about being disappointed, about being honest, because God desires truth in the inward parts.
Yes.
He don't get no glory for you being fake and not expressing to Him how you really feel.
Yeah.
So it kind of like allows you to open yourself up, answer some questions, to be honest with God. Mm-hmm. And so that's where the journal is, so that you can record those answers to the questions in the book.
This is therapy. You said you have not gone to therapy. You are literally creating it.
Oh, wow.
So this is actually very, is expressive arts therapy, a form of therapy that's very effective.
Okay.
Journaling, helping you to process through those emotions. And you have a guide that's guiding people through it. So you're creating it for people.
Wow.
And if it worked for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I literally was going through it while I was writing it.
Mm.
And I know it's Holy Spirit led, because I'll be reading it and I'm like, I don't even remember writing some of it.
Wow.
I'm like, the Holy Spirit was just telling me what, giving me what to write, and it would minister to me. So I knew when I had a couple of people helping me edit and stuff, and it was like, this is so good. Like, it's just a ministry. Wow. It was just flowing. Like, it would just flow. So I was like, this is the Holy Spirit. This is what the Holy Spirit means when He says to yield.
Yes.
And I'll give you the words to say. And just opening up the scriptures. Like, I was getting so many revelations from just so many of the people. Like, every person in the Bible is a character study in itself.
Mm.
People say that they get bored reading the Bible. I just don't understand it. Because it's just too good. It's so much in there. And so I just wrote it. And it looks thick, but I actually had to cut so much because I'm long-winded naturally. But I had to cut so much because a lot of times I couldn't even pick the scripture that I wanted to use. There's so many of them. Mm-hmm. So it'll definitely be more of them coming. But
it's incredible.
It was a blessing. It was a blessing for me. Like I said, if I didn't write it for no other reason but to be obedient, I would have been satisfied. So
that is incredible.
Yeah.
So, guys, we want you to go ahead and get your copy of He Bottles Up Every Tear, Grieving with God Journal, as well as the devotional by Grace Rainey. Where could they find a copy of this?
It's on Amazon right now, and you can go to my website, anchoredarrows1.com, and you can order it from there as well.
Excellent, excellent. And lastly, I would love to know any advice to those that are grieving. I know you shared quite a lot, but to those that are dealing with grief, especially during the holiday season, and they may not know how to even approach it. Mm-hmm. Some people are dealing with grief, but like you mentioned, I think it was grandpa passed away in 1989, but still dealing with that grief. There's so many people right there.
Yeah.
Been 10 years, 20 years,
sure.
15 years, some of them recent. And they don't know what to do with that. What can you advise them? Any suggestions?
My advice is always to choose joy.
Wow.
Always choose joy. I talk about a character in the Bible named Rispa, and she lost her sons, but she had to fight for what remained.
Wow.
And so even though you might have lost a loved one, you still have loved ones that are still here.
Wow.
You still have people that are still here that love you and that want you around, and just surround yourself with family and choose joy. Like, you don't have to choose to be desolate and sad, because that's not going to bring them back.
Yeah.
And the person that you love wouldn't want you to do that.
Mm-mm.
And so I just always tell everybody to choose joy and to find it wherever you need to find it. And don't let nobody make you feel guilty for finding joy where you need it. Don't put it off till tomorrow. I have to think about Israel. Like, I wanted to go to Israel for years, but it's all in a upheaval now. And so I don't know when I'll be able to go. Right. So I should have went when I could have went, you know. And so I just tell everybody, you know, don't put it off. Mm-hmm. Choose joy. The holidays are a joyous time of the year.
Yes.
So you can choose to be joyful. Yes. You don't have to be sad. You don't have to be desolate. You don't have to be mourning a person because they're still here in spirit. I always tell everybody, absolutely, they're not here in physical form, but energy never dies.
Nope.
The love for them never dies.
Absolutely.
And so they're here in spirit, and so just choose to believe that. And that's why I'm always directing people back to the Word of God, because the Word of God will tell you all of these things.
Absolutely.
It will tell you that we don't mourn like people mourn without hope. We have hope, so we don't have to mourn that way, you know, that we don't be sleep, you know. And it's just, it's painful, and yeah, you miss them, but you have to still live because you're still here and you still have purpose.
Yeah. That was so powerful.
Yeah.
I just took it all in. I had to take it all in. And everything you said just so on point. And I know it's helping so many people that you touched on something really quickly I want to mention, and that's for those parents that may have lost one child, but you have other kids that are living, fighting and continuing to live for them.
Absolutely.
Because they need you too.
For sure.
And there are people around you that are still connected to you, that depend on you.
Yeah.
And so there's so much life even after that. And then the thing I love the most is the choice. You keep telling people that there is a choice in all of this.
Sure.
It may feel like you had no choice in what happened, but you get to choose moving forward.
Yeah.
And you can choose how you grieve, and you can choose joy.
Yeah, because it's not about what happens to us. Things are happening for us.
Yeah.
And we can't allow life to happen to us, because then life will be happening to us every day.
Absolutely.
And so you have to choose how you respond to the things that happen. And I believe the Word of God so strongly. Like, I believe that all things are working together for our good.
Yes.
Even the bad things, even the things that you wouldn't think would help anybody. Just sharing your testimony. Like, so many people have dealt with loss since my loss in my family. But because of how I dealt with it, they didn't fall apart, and they didn't shatter, and they knew what to do.
Wow.
And so that gives me peace and joy right there, knowing that something so painful for me can help somebody in their painful situations, because the world is getting darker and darker.
Absolutely.
And as much as we want to pray and just peace on earth, it's not going to happen. The peace has to be in us.
I love that.
We have to have the peace, because it's so not going to be peace on earth. And so we need to know how to handle when the dark times come. We need to be the light, and we need to be light for other people that are in dark places, and that's the whole purpose of it all.
Wow. That is, I mean, if we look at the times and see what's going on in the world today, we know that things are taking a turn for the worse
in
so many areas, but you can continue to be that light in your community, wherever you are, in your home, to your children, to your family, on your job.
Yeah.
You could be the light that people need to see. And peace is an internal thing, so chaos may be breaking out, or hell may be breaking loose, but you can have the peace inside of you.
For sure.
That right there is incredible news. So I love it. I love the messages, a message of hope, a message of peace, and a message of joy this holiday season.
Absolutely. And that's what brought me to the God of all comfort and God of all grace. It's kind of like a double meaning, the God of all grace, because my name is Grace.
Yeah.
And it came from 1 Peter 5:10. But he says that after you suffered for a little while, the God of all grace will strengthen you and sustain you and all of these things. And so he told me, you know, no matter what you're going through, I am your God, and I'm the God of all of you, all of your broken pieces, all of the pieces that you don't want me to see. I give you grace for all of those things. So it ministered to me, you know, just him being the God of everything.
Yes.
He's the God of all comfort. That means no matter what you're going through, he can comfort you.
Wow.
He can give you grace for it. So.
Yes.
Just like I said, his word has sustained me. It's an anchor. It doesn't change.
Yeah.
So no matter what, whenever you're going through traumatic situations, you want something solid and firm and something that is going to be there no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found that in the Word of God. And so that's why that is my mandate, is to share his word, to get people to love it, to love truth, because that's something that nobody can take away from you no matter what happens in your life.
Wow. This has been incredible, incredible, Grace. And please get y'all copy, y'all, one of these incredible T-shirts. I have a few of them, so y'all probably see me wearing them. Now you know where it came from. God of all grace, beautiful design,
thank you.
And beautiful message. And I think it'll really inspire you when you wear it. I know every time I put it on, I always feel that message of empowerment and hope because I know what it means and what it symbolizes. So please get your one of your t-shirts here. How can people reach out to you? They can purchase your book on Amazon. But how can they reach you if they want to talk to you, a family is grieving, or just want to connect with you? What's the best way of them reaching out?
Well, I'm Grace Rainey on Facebook and Grace_Rainey on Instagram. And I always answer my inboxes and stuff like that. I serve at Embassy City Church, so you can always come to church.
Yes, Embassy City.
Just
Powder Springs, Georgia.
Yeah, Powder Springs. I love my church. I love my pastor. Just he's a man of faith, and he teaches us. You know, Jesus said that, "I tell you these things before they happen so that in me you can have hope and so that in me you can believe." Yes. So he really teaches us so many things that when life happens, we're not taken off guard. We know what to do. And so that has been so priceless in my life, and I just thank God for it.
That's incredible. Shout out to Apostle Brian Meadows. And absolutely, Grace, you said something I want to also reiterate. Do not isolate this season.
Don't.
If you're feeling depressed, you're going into depression, or any of those things, don't isolate. Find a community of support, church, family, but don't be alone. Don't find yourself by yourself.
Amen.
Please find a group, a community of support. Reach out to some people. And we want to make sure that this holiday season you feel joy, you feel peace, you feel that love, despite what you're going through, despite what it feels like, that you can choose. You can choose joy.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Grace.
You're
thank
welcome.
You for thank being you. With us, for blessing us with your story, with your testimony, with the tools that you've been using that have been effective for you, sharing it to those. I know this has inspired so many people, encouraged so many people. We want you to take this message and elevate it, amplify it, share it to as many people as you can so that you can spread. This is your way of giving. Spread this this joy, this love, and this peace to other people. Guys, we love you so much. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. We'll be back before the new year on our next segment. But again, we appreciate you. We love you. Please stay tuned. We'll see you soon.